E1. Number 29, B.
In the same way, Matthew must have been under that divine impulsion and has taken out of the wealth of things that he had witnessed in Jesus' life or that were recounted to him about Jesus, had taken all that material and has systematized it into an unfolding order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And then has shown how every stage was impelled by life, made factual by truth, and fulfilled through love, giving us thus the sense that laws were at work, and that by getting to know these laws and entertaining them in consciousness, that in this way we would be geared into these laws, synchronized with these laws, be identified with these laws, and therefore they would work in our experience just as they worked in Jesus' experience. And that brings me to a last remark about Matthew. And this is a methodological remark for us. A great step which I would like you to consider. You see, what have we done with the text of Matthew? At one time, we were reading those texts, verse by verse. Perhaps somebody has taken time to spend a year or two or three or more just on Matthew, investigating every word, every incident, slowly paving his way through the text over years and years. This is the atomistic approach, taking every word or every verse by itself, or every few verse or every parable by itself, and considering it. It's a very small frame of reference, and therefore such a study doesn't yield very much. It's a religious study, it's a metaphysical study, it is not a scientific study, because science goes out from the whole. It's not a structural study. But that's the best we could do for a long time, and the church could do for a long time. Theology over 2,000 years has done that. Then Mrs. Eddy gave us a key to the Bible. That key is the 7 and the 4 and the 4. Because in Apocalypse she gives the four sides of the city, but she also presents that whole subject on the four levels of science. So with this system of reference, she has given, so to say, the key to the Bible, so that we can today read the Bible with this new key. So the first thing John Dolly did was that he read Matthew with the key of the seven synonymous term, and so presented in 1948 at the Oxford School Matthew as an example of the sevenfold development of the Word of God in conjunction with the 7 days of creation. Therefore, in the system of reference of the 7 days, or the seven synonymous terms. Then, and what did he do with that key? With that key, he took the biblical symbolism and translated it into metaphysical symbolism. So instead of having all that genealogy of Abraham up to David, and from David begetting up to the captivity, and from captivity begetting up to the point of Joseph, we can take that symbolism and put it into metaphysical language by saying this is the creative sense. Just by saying creative, naturally we free that from the human symbolism of Abraham and David and all those people and girls that were in that genealogy, 42 total. We freed it from the people symbolism, from historical symbolisms, and just put it into present-day metaphysical statement. So say we could take in the first subject of mind, instead of the whole story, we just could call it the parent mind. Or the whole symbolism of the three baptisms, we just could put it into the term of the purity of spirit. Or the whole symbolism of the temptation, etc., we could put it just in metaphysical language and say, this is the identity and integrity of man. Or the whole symbolism of the Sermon on the Mount, we just could put into one metaphysical term, namely the teaching of principle, or the interpretation of principle. Then the whole symbolism of the healings that were going on in life, and just put it into the newness and freshness of life. The whole symbolism about man and so on, in the sixth subject, into the metaphysical language of a calculus of ideas. Or the whole symbolism of Jesus' betrayal, Last Supper, betrayal, before Pilate, crucifixion, and then resurrection, reappearing to the student, all that we just could put down into the symbolism of fulfillment. And so instead of having historical, personal, natural symbols, Mr. Dolly put them into the metaphysical language that Mrs. Eddy gave on the seven synonymous terms. Then, a year later, and the summer school in Oxford, 1949, he showed the very same story again, Matthew again. But this time, he enlarged the system of reference. He didn't show it just as the word in Christian Science, but began to see that the power which brought forth that word order is in life, truth, and love, in the word of absolute Christian Science. So he presented the story more or less the way I have done today in Matthew. Namely, that life, truth, and love impelled the parent mind. That life, truth, and love impelled the purity of spirit. That life, truth, and love impelled the identification and integrity of soul. That life, truth, and love impelled the teaching of principle. That life, truth, and love impelled the newness of life. Then in the sixth, that life, truth, and love impelled the appearance of the calculus of reality. And then in the last subject, that life, truth, and love impelled the fulfillment of a life mission. So can you see that in that year he expanded that frame of reference by giving the interdependence of absolute Christian Science and Christian Science in the world. He didn't state it in a law. It just showed that there is such an interdependence. Now, we can go a step further. And that's, I think, what we have to consider. Namely, if, and that's how we really came to the laws of interdependence, that I was saying to myself, yes, here is the story of Matthew, as Matthew has written it. But we know it's a symbolization of something which lies much deeper there, namely something which has to do with metaphysical ideas. And John Dawley translated it into metaphysical ideas, which has naturally the great advantage that the whole story of Matthew becomes now our story, a present story. That is, no more Jesus and the Pharisees and Pilate and Herod and Mary and all that kind of thing, but that it becomes a present applicable law. That was his great point, you see, that he could show that we are the Matthew, or that we are the Jesus of Matthew, if we can see that law. But then we could go a step further. Then I was saying to myself, yes, but these metaphysical ideas, like the parent mind in the first subject, is only one idea of what? Of a synonymous term. That idea, parent mind or creative activity, is only one characteristic of mind. Mind is much bigger than just creative. Or you take the second subject, the baptism, translated into metaphysical terms is purification. But purity is only one aspect of spirit, not the whole of spirit. There are many other aspects of spirit. And so you can see quite logically that therefore we can go a step further, and instead of stating Matthew only in metaphysical language, we can translate it right back into the language of the synonymous terms. And then we get to the standpoint of science, because the moment we touch the synonymous terms, we always speak from God, from being, which is science. So, therefore, at that time, round about, far as I remember, round about 1962, 3, 4, round about that time, I began to see that we have to go a step further and put the whole thing right back from where it came, namely into the law of the world of absolute Christian science, interdependent with the world of Christian science. What we did yesterday when we had that diagram where we said, really, that diagram, I have it here, a diagram 15, you know, and I put it right back to this. The world in its interdependence of absolute Christian science and Christian science. Now, this law is now naturally much bigger than just Matthew. Matthew now becomes just one specific symbolization or application of this law. Can you see that? This here, with the synonymous term, is the fundamental law. And do you remember what we did? You see, we said we can take this law and put, instead of mind, I think we put manifestation. Huh? Or do you remember what we did in spirit? In spirit we said we could take unfoldment. Huh? And say we can take the idea unfoldment for spirit and see that life, truth and love impels unfoldment, the right unfoldment, the complete unfoldment. So that we can enlarge or elaborate on that law extensively. Matthew is only one example that does not repeat itself. It's the law that is infinitely applicable. But Matthew does not repeat itself. Therefore, only to go back to the text of Matthew and find that Matthew gives us the answer for our life is not quite right. We should see that Matthew is one example of a underlying law, and that therefore that underlying law has infinite applicability and shows itself forth in many, many different ways. So that every time we use this law here of life, truth, and love impelling mind to love, every time we use that law, we use the law underlying Matthew, but we use it for us and for an incident which is completely different than Jesus' experience. Can you see what we did? We lifted the symbolism out of itself back into a fundamental law. We did the same thing what Newton did. Newton had a unique experience. He was standing under an apple tree and an apple fell on his head and hit him. But not only did it hit his head, but it also hit him that he was thinking, if that is happening, is there not a law behind it? And so he was drawing from the single experience, was drawing consequences, and was seeking for the principle of anything falling, and later on of the principle of anything attracting anything else. And it's certainly, when we use the law of gravitation today in space experiments and in spaceships and going to the moon, nobody is thinking of Newton and the apple and standing under the apple tree and an apple hitting him. They don't have to go back to the apple and to Newton. They go just back to that law which is formalized exactly as a law and can use that infinitely. So, in a way you can see that the Bible has given rise to a new concept, not to stay with the Bible, but to lift us out of the biblical symbolism into the laws that existed before the Bible was written and the laws that existed after the Bible was written, to the laws that have infinitely more application than what is seen in the Bible. So the Bible is a textbook that shows how to get away from the single application and experiment and see the fundamental law and its infinite applicability. Can you see where we are in our development? Why we take somehow a different view of the Bible? It isn't a disregard of the Bible. It is just looking at the Bible from a different standpoint with a different purpose. Some people feel that if they can quote the Bible, that they know the Bible very well. They think that if in every circumstances, and in every trial, and in every Watergate trial, you can quote from the Bible, that you are a good knower of the Bible. Huh? Doesn't Irving do that? He quotes always from the Bible. Huh? Well, that doesn't make him really see the signs of being. So quoting the Bible and referring everything back to the Bible is not going forward. It's going backward. It's trying to make everything fit into a restricted terminology and symbolism. Whereas we should free the idea from its symbolism. And we do it. How can we free the symbolism from itself? We have a very scientific way of doing that in every science, namely by putting certain symbols who have a common denominator into one classification and give to that classification one symbol. You know what I mean? Science is that method which takes, now applied, say, to mind, takes those qualities like power, action, law, guiding, intelligence, those ideas together and say, instead of having a list of 100 qualities characterizing mind, we drop that and just have one symbol, a super symbol for the whole class, namely mind. That's what we did, which we did. And that's a scientific method to do it. To put many things which belong to the same class into that class and give to that whole bundle of data one super symbol, like mind, like spirit. And in this way, simplify the laws. And by simplifying those laws, we expand them. That's the paradox. That you simplify through super symbols, but the moment I have this law here through this stated through these seven synonymous terms, I have a law that is infinitely applicable. From which Matthew is only one never recurring example. Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring home.